So take your Bibles into 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The awesome wisdom of God. You got to look at this wisdom, and we think that wisdom is a generic term that applies to everything. But here, this title is the wisdom of God. It's not my wisdom. It's not your wisdom. It's not anybody else's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. And so it's very distinguished from the wisdom of the world, wisdom of man, wisdom of generic wisdom that we all have, or we grow up, the wisdom of the ages, wisdom of maturity. So I would like to bless you, I guess, with this insight here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, he goes, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And you think about it, I don't care how smart you are, how many degrees you are, how good you are in whatever trade you are doing, it is nothing compared to, God calls it foolishness in the light of him. Because if it takes you farther away from God, then it has to be, it's foolish. And for most aspects, most of the wisdom that is taught us this day, it takes us farther away from God. So here he's going to describe something else here. Verse 21. For after that, or since then, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. So here's the phrase in 1 Corinthians, the first thing of the wisdom of God. For in the wisdom of God, for the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after what? Wisdom. Well, obviously, this wisdom is not the wisdom of God that they're seeking for. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks or Gentiles foolishness. I mean, they look at this and say, God, what we're doing is dumb. This is a crazy, you know, going to church, listening to the word, reading the word, learning about this is foolishness. But on contrary, unto them which are called us, both Jews and Greeks, or Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God, and the what?
Wisdom.
Okay, so this kind of dictates where we're going to go with this. What is the wisdom of God? Christ. I mean, it says it very clearly right here, is what is the wisdom of God? And you think about it, this is what he had planned since the ages, from the beginning, that this was his. He saw Adam and Eve screwing up. He saw that the flood of Noah and the evil of it was. He saw all these things in his foreknowledge, but he also saw that there was going to be a redeemer that came out. So what he said, let's play it out, because this is going to happen. This is the wisdom of God. Understanding that Christ is the wisdom of God, we can now go to these other places that it talks about wisdom and understanding a little bit further. So take your Bibles now and go to chapter 2. Let's start at verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of the world that come to naught, or the other wise things of the world and other things. But we speak the what? The wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God now? Since we knew that from First Corinthians,
Christ.
We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. The wisdom of God is the mystery. The mystery is Jesus Christ. The mystery is Jesus Christ. And it's not just Christ in you. It is not that Jew and Gentile is fellow heirs. It is Jesus Christ is the mystery. That had the world known that he was the mystery, when I would crucify him. Verse 8, which none of the princes of the world knew, for it, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So we see now that the mystery is Jesus Christ. It's not one little aspect of Christ in you, the hope of glory. In fact, it's everything that Christ is. You got everlasting life from him. You're wise, you're sanctified, you're righteous, you're redeemed. You got ministry of reconciliation. You're belong to household now. You're a body. You're going to heaven, and all hell is not going to stop you. All these things that come when Christ is the wisdom of God. We limit Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the plan and the mystery that was hid for the foundations of this world. They knew that there was going to come a Savior, but they did not know it was going to be Christ like this, and all the aspects of it, and that he was going to redeem everybody from that. So look at Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, is not in the text, right? Verse 10. To the intent that now, that right now, unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The manifold, there's the multivarious, the like a diamond, the multifaceted, every aspect of the wisdom of God, because every aspect of Jesus Christ, it's there. See, what is the multifaceted aspect of Jesus Christ? Christ in you, the hope of glory. How about the Jew and Gentile being fellow heirs? How about fellow heirs? How about life everlasting? What else is multivarious, multifaceted? How about the seed? How about spirit within? You got all these different things that describe this wisdom of God that comes out to it. Like the manifold wisdom of God, and that's what the word manifold is. Multivariegated or manifold, that is what it is. So now, because of that, I want to show you two concepts here that I think will help you out. A section of the word that nobody goes to because they don't really understand it, and that's Romans chapter 11. Because we always look at it as a negative thing, talking about the Jews. And let's start with verse 20. Romans chapter 11, verse 20. Well, because of the unbelief, they were broken off. This is talking about the Judeans. And thou standest by faith. Of course, he's talking to believers here. Now, you're standing by faith, but these Judeans that don't believe, that they're broken off. Be not high-minded, but fear. Now, fear is not being scared, but have respect. Have that respect that you were there at one point too, that you can't look down upon these people that were Jews, and don't think you can do it. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which felt severity, but towards thee goodness, thou continuest in the goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be what? Cut off. Now, most people stop right here, right, when they read this, but they don't read further. Verse 23, and they also, if they were by not in unbelief, shall be gathered in for God to be able to be grafted them what? To graft them in again. These are the Jews that have the unbelief. Guess what's going to happen? He is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature and were gathered contrary to the nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which by the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Look at this concept here. For I would not, brethren, that you be ignorant of this what? Mystery. Remember, we were talking about the mystery. What is the mystery? Jew and Gentile, fellow heirs, and everything. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. What does it say here? And all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is a covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, for yours, meaning the so-called Judeans, I mean the Gentiles right here. But as touching the election, they are beloved for their father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Everybody takes this out of context. He's talking about Israel that does not believe in Jesus Christ. He is able to get them back into the fold again because of Jesus Christ. And this is because Christ is the wisdom of God. He can do all. He is the one to do this. For as you in times past have not, as you Gentile, in times past had not believed in God, you have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Through their unbelief. For so have these also now not believed, through your mercy they may obtain mercy. Because of what Jesus Christ did for us, they're going to receive that mercy too. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that we might have mercy upon all. God wants all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. This is how much God's love is, and this is what the wisdom of God is. You think of, you know, especially at that period of time when there were Judeans, you know, and of the lineage and everything. He is saying Christ is going to save to the uttermost. Oh, the depths, in verse 33, of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him and shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him and all things to whom be glory forever. Amen. What an awesome chapter. If you think about it, of the mercy that God has upon not only us, but unto the whole Judeans because of what Jesus Christ has done. This is not to be taken out of context. This is that we are so thankful to be in a part of Jesus Christ, the awesome wisdom of God. And turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We'll start with verse 1. And then, this is talking about a very specific parable. This parable is the parable of all parables. It's about the sower and the seed. It's written in three of the four gospels, and it's pretty much is the same in detail. A little bit variations in both, in all three, but it's basically the same. So I'm going to read it to you. Verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables. And he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. So that's what he just taught. Now, everybody that heard that is either confused or they get it. But for most people, they're just probably scratching their heads at this point in time. So in verse 10, it says, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. So there were some besides the 12 with them, right, at this time. And he said unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now, again, I was telling these guys, we have a privilege of understanding what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is what? Overall, right?
Yep.
The kingdom of heaven is over a specific time part. We learned from the class that we've taken of the time when Jesus Christ was upon earth, when the kingdom was upon earth. But the kingdom of God is overall. So unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that were out, all these things are done how? In parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they shall be converted, and their sins shall be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? Verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? So, what does it behoove us to know? This parable. Otherwise, how are you going to know? How are you going to understand any other parable? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside which the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. When they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises to the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, we put people in categories. We say, oh, this person is stony ground, or this person is on the wayside, or this person is on good ground, or I'm on good ground, right? No, I mean, it doesn't work like that. This is an always happening thing. If you're in a situation where you don't get, when you're getting the word stolen from you, no matter how or why, guess what? It's on the wayside. Or if you're on stony ground, that you're in an environment or a situation that they can't grow, guess what? That's what's going to happen. It's not a label of a person. This is everybody at all times, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time after us. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Verse 18, and these are which that are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the what? Cares of the world, and deceitfulness of riches, and lust of things entereth in, choketh the word, and it becometh unfruitful. What's the difference between the first one and the third one? Nothing. The word is gone in all three categories. Mm-hmm. The places where we always want to be is this word in verse 20. And they which are sown on the good ground, such as hears the word and received it, and bringing forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and 100. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? That is what we're bringing forth. And if you don't bring up those things in Galatians of love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faithfulness, that means that something happened in those other three categories of your life that is either be choked out, squeezed out, or deceived. And we go away, and guarantee the reason why we do it is because we go away from the wisdom of God. And what is the wisdom of God again? It's Jesus Christ. If we leave Jesus Christ in any way, shape, or form, that's what's going to happen. We will be unfruitful. How can you be fruitful in any way if you don't have Jesus Christ? You may think you are, and you're. That is how intense this wisdom of God is. That He thought about it since the beginning, foundations of the world, and He brought it to pass. And that we will understand it so much clearer in the ever after, that we were so blessed by Jesus Christ that we will see Him go on our knees and drop to the ground and hug his feet because of what He's done for us. And that is what Jesus Christ is for every Christian that ever believes the word. It's not just this nebulous Christ in you, the hope of glory, or this seed of Christ in you. It is every aspect of Christ. And that is the wisdom of God.
All right.